I'll try. I'm not so good at that, but I'll do my best. Try. It's Erev Pesach, so I'm also in a rush. It's Bichi Pazin for everybody now. Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadiv HaKadosh Levracha, Rav Kook said that Yetzias Mitzrayim is Aviv HaOilam. When we left Mitzrayim, the springtime of history began. Rav Kook said that until that time of Pesach, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the world was stuck in a long, dark winter. Made no difference if it was hot, it was cold, it was a winter. It was a long, dark winter. And Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Aviv Ha'olam, is the springtime of the world, of all of history. And since then, nothing has been the same. Nothing has been the same. So I want to explain that to you a little bit. I spoke to some of the women last week in shul about this. It's a little bit different now, but I want to talk to you about this. I think you all know that the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph from Beis tells us that at 120, there are going to be questions that were asked when we appear before the Bezen Shomalo. There are going to be a number of questions. And it seems from the Gemara Taisus over there, it seems that the main question that we're all going to have to answer at 120 is two words: Tzipisi LeYeshua. Were you longing for salvation? Were you a Jew that when you lived in the world, when you were alive, you were a Mitzapeh LeYeshua? Tzipisi LeYeshua. Now, of course, that means the simple pshat. It means that you were somebody that was living with the dream, the hope, the tefillah for the ultimate redemption and salvation of Am Yisrael. That's the simple pshat. But, you know, many, many years, this question has been asked of millions of Jews when they reach the Bezen Shomala. And it's not just a question. When we look in the Sfarim, it's not just a question about waiting for Mashiach, although that's, of course, true. But it's a much more basic and general question. When you were alive, this is what we're being asked in the Bezen Shomala. So we could answer, no, of course, I davened every day for Mashiach. I davened every day. I was among those who even had the words Mitzapim Yeshua in Shemoneh Esrei. And even if I didn't say that in my nusach, I said Matzmiach Karin Yeshua, Samach David, Ani Ma'amin. Of course, I was waiting for Mashiach. Of course, I believe in Mashiach. And you know, the Biskrov says that it's not enough just to believe in Mashiach, but part of the ikur of believing Mashiach is longing for Mashiach. And of course, I was waiting for the ultimate salvation of Am Yisrael, of the entire world, for Mashiach Zekeinu. But the question is a much deeper question, because it's very easy to hide behind that and those words that we've been saying since we're kids, the words of davening. The real question is, not only were you waiting for the ultimate redemption, but every single morning when you got up, with what frame of mind did you accept the challenge of that day? Of today. Today is Tes Nisan, Tavshin Pei Aleph, it's the Yard Sadi Rabbi Levin Zech, Sadi Kosh Levracha. It's almost the Erev Pesach. Did you wake up in the morning, Vash Negel Rasa, say Maida'ani, filled with faith, with excitement, with anticipation, with optimism? Did you live your 120 years as a person that was filled with optimism, with excitement, with belief in the Yeshua that this day can bring for me, for my family, for Am Yisrael, not even if Chalila Mashiach doesn't come today? The question, were you able to wake up this morning and to ignore the latest bulletins about the newest vaccines, the newest theories, the latest reports on who's a bigger Russia than who? Were you able to wake up this morning to ignore all of those things? Or even Chalila to subject yourself to that misery, but to remain a person who is upbeat, optimistic, filled with Simchas Chaim, filled with Tzipis of Yeshua, that today's going to be Givaldic. This is going to be a great day. I know it sounds simplistic, but listen, Chevra, the Rishonim already asked, how is it possible that Dothan and Aviram left Mitzrayim and came with us? Everybody knows that Chamushim Alu, that the Rishonim did not survive the Makas HaChayshech, the Rishonim died in Egypt. So Dothan and Aviram were Rishonim. I mean, I wouldn't say that about Jews, but Chazal called them Rishonim. They were Rishonim. So the question is asked, how were they able to leave Mitzrayim? It's a very strong question. What were they doing with the rest of us? So the Rosh, Rabbeinu Rosh, the Rosh says, Halashon, in the parish which is brought down in Chumash, Af al pi, shahoyu rishoyim, loy nisyashu min ha-geula. Listen to this. Even though they weren't good guys, they were rishoyim. Nevertheless, lo nisyashu min ha-geula. They did not give up hope that redemption was near. They didn't give up hope and redemption. They lived with that emunah, with all of their narishkeit. They didn't give up hope. In other words, they were amongst those who were mitzapim liyeshua. Mitzapim liyeshua, which is brought down in the smak. But the smak learns that the mitzvah, noich Hashem lakech, Hashem tzeisich, Mer Shetzfayim, includes within it the mitzvah of tzipis liyeshua. I am Hashem, I took you out of Mitzrayim. And if you believe in that, then I'm going to take you out of anything in life that you're stuck in. That's what it means to be mitzapel Yeshua. That's how the smak learns. So this is from the Torah of the Rishonim. This mitzvah of tzipitz Yeshua is not just the ultimate redemption. Now, Rav Chuk had a great Talmud. He had many great Talmudim. One of his greatest Talmudim was called the Nazir. I'm sure you heard of Rav David Cohen. Zecher Tzadik V'Kosh Levracha. He was an Ish Pella. He was a wondrous tzaddik. There's a great biography that came out around 6-7 years ago on the Nazir. Also, it's called Ishkiyafli, on the Nazir from Yerushalayim. Well, originally he was actually from Raden. He was learning by the Chavetz Chaim until he finally ended up in Yerushalayim by Rav Kook, and actually he met Rav Kook before that in Switzerland. And then he became dovuk to Rav Kook in Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim. His sefer Kol HaNevuah is a remarkable sefer. It's an ish pela. So he was talking about, it's brought down from the Nazir that he was speaking about the different svarim that Shlomo HaMelech composed in his lifetime. And there's a machlokes in Chazal when he composed each one, at what point in his life, to say that. But one of those Megillus, one of those Svarim, the Nazir said, is filled with what he called Ke'ev Ha'olam, the pain of the world. Ke'ev Ha'olam. I think you can all guess that that's Koheles. The Koheles is a Sefer that is filled with the pessimistic, non-tzipis Yeshua attitude towards life. Not that Chas v'Shalila is Shlomo Melech's conclusion, but Sefer Koheles, Megillas Koheles, contains within it a very powerful and compelling and frightening argument for pessimism. And I think that it could be encapsulated most accurately in 5 words in Koheles. The Nazir spoke of, Ein kol chadash tachas hashamash. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. The monotony, the emptiness, the staleness, the repetitions, the cycles of creation, of life. And Shlomo Melech says over there, Dor Holech v'dor ba. A generation comes and goes. No, essentially, what's different? People still kill each other. They try to eke out a living. Mizrach Hashemesh, Avah Hashemesh, the sun rises, the sun sets, Soivev, Soivev, Hoylech Haruach, Baal Sivoysev, Shabruach, and everything, the winds are, the world is turning and the winds are moving around. Masha Hayahu Sheyiyah. Shlomel says that which was is that which will always be. Umasha Nasa Hu Sheyiyasa, and that which has happened is that which will happen. Yeish Dovish Yomar Reza Chodesh. Sometimes something happens and everybody says, oh, Reza Chodesh, this is something new. Ukvar Haya La'ilam. No. Ukvar Haya La'ilam. It's in a different edition, a different version, a different garment, but Kvar Haya La'ilam. And the Nazir said that this way of thinking is the most powerful exposition of pessimism, of Yeush, of despair, that is the pain of man's existence. In the ancient world, I'll just mention this. I don't like to bring up things that are not Kedusha, but I studied this stuff a long time ago. Not for a long time, but a long time ago. In one of the buildings over there. In ancient times, there was a big machloikis by Chachmei Yavan. There was a big machloikis going on in Athens. One of the Batei Midrashim, there was a Beis HaMedrash in Athens that believed that everything is static, nothing changes. Like we just heard in the words of the pessimist in Kohelet, nothing has ever changed, the past, the present, the future, just continues on in circles, and so on. That was one Beis HaMedrash in ancient Greece. There was a second Beis HaMedrash that said just the opposite. Everything is dynamic. Everything is in motion. Everything is changing and constantly moving. Shoteif, shoeif. Everything is on the move. These were two Batei Midrashim in ancient Greece. In modern times, they would materialize as a big machlokes between the philosophers. The greatest modern pessimist, when I say modern, I don't mean from this past month or year, but in modern post-enlightenment, post-enlightenment times, the greatest of the miserable pessimists was Descartes. And the greatest among the optimists was Bergson. Bergson was a person who lived, he wasn't Amcha Beis Yisrael, but he lived in a metzias of the spring, of Shir Hashir, of Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, of Chag HaAviv, of everything changing and being new. Now the shorish of these two tefises, the root going back to the beginning, to understand these two tefises of life, of history, of life, of today, of tomorrow, and to try to understand on our level what Rav Kook was talking about, that Pesach was this great cataclysmic revolution of spring, of optimism, of Yeshua, of Tzipisili Yeshua, that a Jew and even Lahavdil and non-Jew can live in this world in a way that's filled with hope and optimism, despite whatever the statistics are or the latest uptick, whatever they want to say, to live with optimism, to live with hope, and to live with Simchas Achai. It can be traced back, take a look, it's at the beginning of time, but let's take a look at the Haggadah for a second. The beginning of the Haggadah is the story of Galus, Kiyadua. But the beginning of the Haggadah is Galus, Mamish, dark, winter, bad. The beginning of the Haggadah. And the questions at the beginning of the Haggadah begin with the word Ma, Ma Nishtana. Now, once we had left Mitzrayim, then when we say the words Ma Nishtana, we say, wow, Ma Nishtana, how things are so great and different. But you could also say the Manishtan means Sof Kol Sof, what's the difference? What has changed? You don't have to say it with excitement and with an exclamation point. You could say it like a Kehelis person. What has changed? But as we go through the Haggadah, and as the Chassam Sofer says, we can only make the Baruch HaShem go along later on, because at the beginning of the Seder, we're still slaves. You all know that. That's why we don't make the Baruch at the beginning. It's one of the explanations why we don't make the Baruch at the beginning, is the same way that a Ger can make the Baruch before his Taiva, when he's not a Ger yet. So we're still slaves at the beginning of the Haggadah. So the question of a slave is Ma. What? What is this? What do I have to do? What's my assignment for today? What? That's the question of a slave. But as we are freed, and we leave Galus Mitzrayim, and we become B'nai Chayrin, in Nirtza, as we get to the end of the Haggadah, in Nirtza, it's not the question of Ma. It's Echad Mi Yodaya. The transition is from Ma to Mi. Now, I explain this to the women, that there's the meaning of Amami. Moving from Ma to Mi. What's a Jewish mother? What's a Mami? There's a huge difference between Ma and Mi. A huge difference. The question of the eternal pessimist is always Ma. The question of the optimist, of the tzaddik, of the yid, of a ben chayrin, of a free person, of someone who's a mitzapel Yeshua, the question is not Ma, the question is Me. Let me explain. In the Hakdama to the Zohar Kaddish, Rabbi Lozer, the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, is darshaning Ma'ase Bereishis, psukim of Ma'ase Bereishis. And he's saying different psukim from Tanakh to explain Ma'ase Bereishis. And and he brings the pasuk in Yeshaya Mem, Su'u Miroi Meinechem, Uru'u Mi Bara Ela. Lift your eyes up to the heavens and see who created all of this. Mi Bara Ela. And Rabbi Loza asks, La'an Asar. What does it mean, Su'u Miroi? Lift your eyes up. To where? To look at what? Look at what? And Rabbi Loza says, it's not talking about looking at the stars and at the sun and the moon, because it would say, Sumir, it would say then, Su'ula Shamayim Enech. What does it mean, Sumirayim Enech, Urumi Bareila? So Rabbi Loza says that the Navi is calling out to every Jew who would ever live. And he's screaming at each and every one of us and telling us, listen, Chevra, you're fixated on what you see with your eyes and with the question, Ma. Start thinking a different way. Adjust your way of looking at life, looking at everything. Adjust it to the question of Mi Bara Ela, who is it? Who is the one who has done all of this, who's doing all of this? Or in the words of the Zohar Kaddish, Malkam Shekali Na'im Tluyasham, turn your eyes inward. And see before your mind's eye the one, the creator, the Echad Yachad Amyuchad Urban Shalom, the Haisosim Atika the Kaimelish Eilam, the ancient one, who even the angels can't understand, who they're all in wonder and asking, V'iyu Ba'erach Sosim V'leiz Galye Ikrimi, the one who is hidden and not revealed, who we refer to as Me. Who is he? Mi Bara Eilam. Mi Bara Eilam. In other words, to explain this very much b'kitzer, here's the revolution of Pesach. The Egyptian way of thinking, or that Beis HaMedrash in Greece or in modern times, the pessimist way of thinking, the Tfisa HaMitzvahs, the Egyptian way is in that Meitzar, in that constraint, that confinement of Teva, of nature, and the laws of nature, which are monotonous, and all the cycles that Shlomo Melech is describing in the mouth of Kohelet, Dor Holech, Dor Ba, Zorach HaShemesh, Ba HaShemesh, and so on. Those are laws that can't be broken. In that world of Mitzrayim, there are no miracles. There is no question of me. As a matter of fact, Paro mocks the question when he says, Mi HaShem HaShe'eshma B'Kailai? Who is Hashem? He looks in his book. Who is Hashem? Mi Hashem that I should listen to him. There's no living, breathing God. There's no Mi Bara Ela. There's no creation taking place at this moment. Because the Egyptian is concerned with one thing. The question of the Egyptian, and a scientist who's not a believer, and other students of history, of the world, and so on, who are not believers, the question is always, maze, what is it? So when the scientist looks at the moon, he's not asking, mi bara ela, wow, who is the one that created this? And that doesn't bring him to Hashem. That doesn't bring him to excitement, to optimism, to faith, to Yeshua. He's just studying a dead planet, an inanimate body that exists in the universe. But when you and I look at the moon, like we just did Matzah Shabbos, at least that's what it was here in Woodmere, when we looked at the moon, Matzah Shabbos by Kiddush Levana, we said the most beautiful things of Levana, Amashatishadish, Ateris Teferis, Lamusa Ivata, Shemasit Mashadish Kamaisa, that just as the moon is going through stages, it's going to start again, it's going to have a new chance, it's going to be renewed. And so to the Jewish people, Asil is Chadish Kamais, Knesset Yisrael is going to be Mischadish Kamais. Bochat Hashem, Chadish Chadosh. And then we say, David Melch, so Chai Vikayim. David Melch is not some person just from thousands of years ago in a history book. It's Chai Vikayim. David Melch is alive and well. Chai Vikayim. And even the person that's standing next to me, even though I was standing with him the whole Shabbos, I look at him and I say, Shalom Aleichem, he says, Aleichem Shalom. Kilo, I never met him before. Everything is his chachas. Everything is brand new. Everything is fresh. Everything is mamish with the question of mi bara ela. You know, there was a poem that I always loved. It's not from a Jew, but it's exactly what we're talking about. Because he really nails it. I mean, the question that Pesach is asking each and every one of us, and the question of the end of our lives, Tzipias Eli Yeshua, today's beautiful. It could be the sun is shining even in Washington Heights, I'm assuming so. But the sun is shining over here in the five towns. We probably have to pay more for it to shine, but it's shining in the five towns very brightly today. It's a beautiful day, Baruch Hashem. And on our front lawn, these five or six little purple flowers just came up through the frost of this morning, because when I went to shul this morning, the window was ice. But there are five little purple flowers that made their way through. These giborim, these Tu B'Shvat flowers made their way through. The first flowers. And you could either look at those flowers and look at the world on this beautiful spring day. I think it's officially spring by now. You could look at these flowers and at the world today and you could say, Maze. And then you go and you Google, you take a picture of the flower and you Google this type of flower and it tells you the species of this flower. I'm not against studying a flower, but if you end with the question of Manishtana and you never get to the question of Echad Miyadei, Shnai Miyadei, Shloisha Miyadei, If you don't look at the world and ask mi bara ela, then you're still a prisoner in Egypt. The whole Perek Shira is about how the world is singing to Hashem. We say it's Shabbos, if a person's eyes can see it. The cold Mitzri, the Egyptian, he just asks, Maza, what is it? What is this? What is it? I want to understand what it is. He wants to understand what it is, but what's the purpose of its existence, who imbued it with life, who is the creator of all existence. That is the source of optimism. The revolution towards Pesach, you know, that the Yontav, the Torah says that each Yontav corresponds to one of the Avos. Pesach is Avraham Avinu, the beginning. And you all know that Avraham Avinu was the one who was living in the world and the whole world was just asking, Ma. And that's why they were making lifeless statues, because you could say to a statue, Mazet. But Avraham Avinu says, Mi Bal Habira. He was looking for me. He was longing for me. Who is he? I want to connect to him. I want to. He's. When you connect to Hashem, then every single minute is new, is fresh, is exciting, because every second you're being created. The world is being created. It's a world filled with his chachas. Rav Kook said, I'll tell you, I'll get to the Goyish poet in a sec. Lahavdil, Rav Kook said in Eretz HaKodesh, in Eretz HaKodesh Chelek Beis, there's a whole section, a maimer in Eretz HaKodesh Chelek Beis called Hisalus HaOlam, where Rav Kook speaks about the elevation or the ascent of the world, how the world is doing tshuva. The world is doing tshuva. And he has a sentence over there, Ki Eich Efshel Hisyayish. How could a person be misyayish? How could a person give up hope? The Shah Sharoim Shah Kol Mispateach Mesalo, when he looks around him, he sees that everything is starting new. Everything is exciting. Everything is fresh. Everything is brand new. Everything is new. And he writes also, Mimokim She'en Kol Chadash, Lemokim She'en Kol Yashan. A Jew who left Mitzrayim left a world where nothing, where Ein Kol Chadash, where nothing was new. And he enters into a world where Ein Kol Yashan, where nothing is old. Shakol Mischadesh, Shesimchas Shemayim Varetz Hoivabai, Kiyom Shenivu, where the joy of heaven and earth is felt like on the day that they were created. That's what it means to leave Egypt and to come to Eretz Yisrael, to come to Am Yisrael. That's what it means. So there's a poem, Hashem should forgive me, but it's the Havdah Ben Kodesh Lachol, but there's a poem by Walt Whitman. It's one of my favorite poems. It's called When I Heard the Learned Astronomer, or sometimes it's called The Learned Astronomer. And it's about some student in university who was taking a course in astronomy, and he was sitting in a big lecture hall with the rest of the chevra, with the students in this big lecture hall, and all the way, the professor was standing all the way at the bottom over there. So Whitman writes the following: When I heard the learned astronomer, so the student is speaking who's at the lecture. When I heard the learned astronomer, when the proofs, the figures were arranged in columns before me, when I was shown the charts and diagrams to add, divide, and measure them, when I, sitting, heard the astronomer where he lectured with much applause in the lecture room, how soon, unaccountably, I became tired and sick, till rising and gliding out, I wandered off by myself into the mystical, moist night air, and from time to time looked up in perfect silence at the stars. Ah, it's gewaldig. In other words, he was stuck in the lecture, and the lecture is only about Ma. And that was the blackboard, and that was the calculations, and then it was a lecture on what is the moon. He was a delicate, sensitive soul. He wasn't a Ma person, he was a Me person. He couldn't take it, and he ran out from the lecture when he looked up. Listen again to the words. I wandered off by myself into the mystical, moist night air, mi bara ela, and from time to time looked up in perfect silence at the stars. In perfect silence at the stars. That's Pesach. That's Pesach. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we open the door to Leonovi to go outside for a second. To go outside for a second. And to look and to remember, mi bara ela. Nothing is old. We left the place where everything was old, and we're in a world of a world that everything is new. Everything is new. You know, one of the amazing things about my Rebbe, I had two Rebbeim, Reb David Lipschitz Zeches Hadav Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Reb Soloveitchik Zeches Hadav Kodesh Baruch Hu. And you know that the Rav, every single time he taught the Masechta, even though he's been through the Masechta 1,000 times and he gave shiurim in it, he gave 50 years shiurim and whatever of a kama on Yevamis, but every year he prepared. It was all everything new. It was all achaydes zelacha. Every word of Torah, mamish, like the fish that are jumping, like Chazal say, in the lake to get the raindrops to come down, even though they have the water inside, all they want, but they want something that just came down fresh, brand new. That's Pesach. So I'll end. I'll tell you a fair story. Yeah, I went a minute or two over. Mechila. I had a longer story that's much better, but I'll tell you the short story. This is like I told this to some of the chevra last year and one of the shiurim. I don't remember since last year. I forgot the names of these two gedolim. There were two gedolim who were talmidim of Rabbi Yochum from the Mir, survivors who came to America, or one of them was from Israel. I remember the other one was in Chicago. I can't remember right now his name. But anyway, they met in Chicago. This old Rosh Hashiva came to see his friend when he came to America. Came to see his friend in Chicago, and they were reminiscing about the old days in Europe with Rabbi Yochum. And And the one from Eretz Yisrael noticed that his friend from Chicago was learning and doing everything like an 18-year-old Bach. The way he moved and the way he did things, it was like he was 18 years old. And they were both like well into their 80s, but he was dragging himself just, you know, to move. And his friend was like, whew. So the one that was struggling more with old age asked his friend from Chicago, how do you, like, what's the story with you? Where do you get your energy from? Where do you get your chias from, your life? So the Chicago tzaddik said, what do you mean? We were in the same place together. Where do you think I got it from? He says, what are you talking about? He said, you don't remember? And he said the date that it was. It was a beautiful, beautiful spring day, magnificent spring day. And we had a chabur that was learning Musaf. We would hear a chabur in Musaf from Rabbi Yochum in his house once a week. I guess there was a big special chavr. And they were learning in Rabbi Yochum's house. So you remember we were waiting for the Rebbe to come, for the Mashgiach to come. He wasn't home, and we were waiting for him to come back. And we were sitting on the table, and all of a sudden the door opened, and Rabbi Yochum walked in all excited. Rabbi Yochum was on fire. And Rabbi Yochum said, I was outside. I was just coming out. I was just coming in from the street, from the gas. And he says, I'll listen to the ice and everything outside. It's vax. Everything is growing and growing and new. It was a spring. I just came in and everything is brand new and fresh. Then Rabbi Yochum, because he's a real Baal Musar, Rabbi Yochum, of course, paused. He gave a krechs and he said, and I'm wondering, why am I so old? I also need to be new and fresh. It's the spring, it's Pesach. I have to also start again. So that's the Chicago tzaddik said, I live with that vart from Rabbi Yochum every day of my life. And every morning when I get up, I say, Chabietzke kum. I just started. I just came back from the street. Everything is fresh and new. I'm going to start again today also. That's a life of Tzipis L'Yeshua. Hashem Yisbach should help each and every one of us to get rid of all the chametz. Chametz means something that's sitting for too long. Something that's old and stale. Everything should be fresh and new. All of us. Our learning, our davening, our mitzvahs, our relationships, our health. Everything should be strong, fresh, and healthy. Hashem Yisbach should help each and every one of us that we should finish up with all these machines and all this zooming. We should be zeichet to learn together here and to continue on to Yerushalayim with the Lashon HaMitzvah from Hemi Amen Amen Vamein. Alech again, Freilich and Yant. Chag Kosher Sameach. Kol Tov.